SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, everyone? Hope you're having a blessed Monday tonight. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Emmy Award-winning sports analyst who has ziplined upside down in the rainforest of Costa Rica and 10-year NFL defensive lineman Lee J. Doosable. And you know I got my squad with me. Host of the show, Tap In, who is the originator of the shimmy dance in the NBA and won the 2006 NBA championship with the Miami Heat, my guy Antoine Walker, and a Hall of Famer at UCF, who was a six-time Pro Bowl wide receiver in the NFL and a host on Inside the NFL on Showtime, Brandon Marshall, a.k.a. The Beast. Yo. How y'all fellas doing tonight?
Yo.
What's so funny, bro?
I'm sitting watching the replay of PAX show, PAX boxing.
Oh, you got to chill.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. He's going to be so mad at me.
Everybody that doesn't know why Brandon's laughing, our teammate, Adam Pac-Man Jones, had a boxing match this past weekend in Rhode Island. It was 3 rounds, 1 minute each round. And my man Pac took another L. And it was tough, Brandon, because I remember him talking about this fight. He was like, I didn't know what to expect the first time. I actually thought I won the fight. But this one, clearly he didn't win this fight. Like he even said after the match, like he was like, yeah, he said respect to Bobby Lang. You know, he won this fight. I ain't win the fight. It was Brandon. I watched the first round. It was like, yeah, Peck really tried to brawl with Buddy. Like the first round, he tried to hold him down, get him
and
tired.
The second one.
But Buddy was in shape. Like he was not getting tired. And he Twan, kept pressing forward.
Twan, have you seen the replay? Or did you watch it live?
No, I haven't seen it. I mean, I've read his comments and seen his comments.
Oh, what was his comments, Troy?
Well, he was talking about he felt like the guy was on steroids and needed to test it for steroids. So I felt like I knew he had a lost hand.
He's like, he said when he started talking, asking that, when he started coming out with a statement saying, hey, he wasn't just drinking water, it was something else.
We got to start going into these other sports as just hobby.
Yeah, I've been trying to tell people to stay out that octagon.
We can't keep doing these sports as exhibitions, man. We won't hurt ourselves in other sports. There's nothing wrong with being in great shape and being able to pick up another sport really, really well. Well, leave them boys alone, man. The professionals alone. Respect them. It's like you want them to respect you and your sport.
I've been trying to tell dudes. They thought, how much money you'll take to get in the ring? I was like, it ain't enough money, man.
But against another athlete?
I don't care.
I think Buddy was actually a boxer, though. Wasn't he a fighter?
I don't know. But listen, I'm nervous. I'm going to be honest because, you know, Pac, he don't like to play too much. So we got to keep it real on show tonight.
Bobby wasn't playing with him in that ring.
Right. Right. Oh, my goodness. Is Pac joining tonight?
Yeah, it was tough for my guy, Pac.
Is he going to call in and give us the
– I thought he was supposed to call in.
Oh, I mean, it's probably tough to find. Oh,
I think he's calling in. Hey, Purnell, our producer Purnell. I think Pac-Man is calling in. Is there any way we could patch him in?
It'll be nice to hear what Pac-Man got to say.
Yeah, I definitely want to hear him.
Thirsty.
There he is, Adam Pac-Man Jones, baby. What's up?
Hello, world. What's up, baby?
Hey, Pac.
Who all on here?
Hey, Pac. It's me, Twan, and B. Marsh.
Pac, right, man, you my man. Pac, we've been on 3 minutes. These boys been clowning you.
No. No.
Twan ain't no good.
So I'm letting you know what conversation you want me to.
Twan,
I ain't going to tell you nothing wrong, man. I know how these boys get at.
Twan, you know I love you, Twan. Go ahead, bro, go ahead. But one thing I ain't worried about is getting clowned. First and foremost, you know what I mean? He was a better man. The other day than I was. I fucked up. I took the fight fucking 17 days into the fight. Why am I on tour and doing all this other shit and forgot, like, hey, this is the Super Bowl for this guy. So, look, I'm a fighter, bro. Like, hey, look, he been fighting for 20 fights. I had 2 fights. I thought I fought really good the first round. I got away from the second round. He clipped me a little bit in the third round. I got myself together, but I fought through the whole fight. So, like, regardless of what these two guys are saying,
they don't want to get in the ring. Peck, I ain't
saying
nothing.
These guys are commentators. Hey. So, like I said, I'll be back in the ring in February.
Peck, why did you take the fight on only 17 days' notice?
Because I wasn't going to turn it down. Why would I turn it down?
Because you couldn't get it extended or did it like when they the next rough and rowdy?
No, that ain't how I do. That ain't how rough and rowdy do, bro. They already got they set. Like, for instance, they got already a date for, I think, February.
You fighting? You fighting in February?
I'm fighting in February. These dates are already premeditated. Now, I will tell you this, like, and Brandon was right there with me when I took the fight. And my wife was like, no, you ain't got enough time. I'm like, yes, I do. It's a fucking fight. And, hey, look, he had a better day, bro. At the end of the day, I wasn't on the ground. It's a lot of motherfuckers have been fighting that was on the ground. I wasn't on the ground. He won, but, hey, I live to see another day. And I ain't hiding from shit. I'm still ready to fight, regardless of what anybody got to fucking say. And half of them got something to say. Can't even go in the mirror and look at themselves, so I ain't worried. Mm.
So, Peck, I mean, let's talk about some of the comments you had after the fight, right? Because I know a lot of people were talking about that. You said something about, I don't know what he was on, but it wasn't just water. You thought he maybe had some extra substances in his body?
Man, of course, man. And that's my fault, man. Like I told my agent, I said, man, how did I not put the steroid test back in there? So, like, regardless of what happened on the fight, that's my fault. Like, I can't blame him, them, nobody else. Like, and I did kind of bitch at my agent about why didn't he put it in there, da-da-da-da. But, like, nevertheless, here and there, he won the fight, bro. Like, I'm not shying from none of that. You tell me, you seen the fight. Like, he had a lot of energy. And I know what my energy level is. And I know what the energy level was last time. But, and I say this again, I still took this fight in 17 days when he had already been preparing for this date because he knew what the date was. So, like, it is what it is. I'm not shying back. I'm not saying nothing. Like, he won. He was the better man on that day.
So,
but I can't wait. I can't wait for the next one.
So, Peck, Brandon Marshall here. I am Athlete Tonight. Look, man, you know, we all were pulling for you and, you know, we thought you were going to bring it home. My question.
Why you sounding like it's a funeral? Bro, you ain't never been into a fight? I forgot. You from Pittsburgh. My bad.
No, I'm trying to be.
Hey, bro, talking on the phone. Bro, you sound soft and you sound like you feel petty or something.
Okay.
Hey, bro, he won.
All right, let me ask you this question. So here's my question. I got my composure. I know,
you
Pat.
Say, whatever you got to say. So stop beating around the bush into my world.
So that my question, my question, my
I
question.
I don't live my life like that. He won the fight. Hey, it is what it is. Guess what? You live to see another day.
You know, this is just the locker room. This is the type of banter that, you know, we usually have in a locker room. I guess, you know, like in football.
Now, we don't talk like that.
In football. In football.
I signed up for it. You know what it is.
In football, you know, in basketball, we go back and we watch film, right? So have you had a chance to go back and watch film? And if you have, what jumped out to you? Like, where are the areas of opportunity?
All right. So when I watched the film, the first round, I think the first round was a good round. All right. I should have changed it up the second round, and my corner told me that. I should have went back to my jab, but I was more of thinking like, yo, I boxed him the first fight. And this was my whole mindset. Like, I boxed him the first fight. I should have won that fight. They want a grudge match. They want a dog fight. And mentally, that's what I went in there with. And, you know, it was what it was. But if I had to go back and do it, I would have just boxed him the whole fight. He wasn't faster than me. He was a lot stronger than me, so it didn't make sense for me to go in and, like, dog fight him. But that's what I chose to do.
So, Pac, you know, look, I'm riding with you. And before the game, no, before the fight, before the fight,
you're not Ron Wicks. Stop. Like, you don't have to lie. You're not. You don't have to lie on air. Like, you ain't Ron Wicks. We already know that. We know.
You don't think you're riding with your back?
Shady. Hey, listen. If I had to bet that you ride with me, I would have lost before I walked in the ring.
No, Twan, you no. You
hey,
get...
bro, look.
Look, Twan, look what you done started, Twan.
Bro, no, no, seriously, but no, no, all right, here you go, No, you know I'm riding with you. Stop that, stop it. No, bro, no, stop.
Because
I'm trying to keep my composure, bro. Because let me tell you why.
Don't do that stupid.
Let me tell you why, Pac. Listen, when I called you before the fight, 45 minutes before it was showtime.
Yeah, but like,
what was the last thing I said to you?
But I don't do business like that. Like, don't ever call me for a fight again.
I can't call you before a fight?
No, I don't want you. You call me after the fight. I know you love me, but I don't want you to call me before no fight ever.
Look, again. This is what I said to Pat.
Your mentality mentally is not like mine. Oh, my time to get down in the foxhole.
Oh, shit.
This man calls me and say, hey, man, you know, we got bigger and better things going on. Keep your head on the swivel. I'm like,
Brandon, you did not call that man and say that right before those fights, bro.
Yes, he did, bro.
Fact, tell me he didn't do that, bro.
Actually,
why you act like that man was about to go to his funeral? Like, he was fighting Drago.
No, so that was part of the conversation. The other part was this. The other part was this. I said, look, bro, you're the better boxer. Go in there and don't try to brawl. Use your technique. But that's what you literally just said when I asked you if you watch film. Because that's what I wanted to see. I really wanted to see you work your jab. I really wanted to see, you know, how you improved from the first one.
I kept telling you, we only had a minute, though. I did that last time. Like, man, listen, this is what I want everybody to do. I want you guys to go back and look at the first fight. Because it's easier for me to just get on here and talk shit because of my our platform and what we got going on. Just go back and look at the first fight and look at the second fight. Of course, he beat me the second fight. I'm clearly willing to admit that. The first fight, you go back and look at it and see who won the fight. The first fight, I clearly jabbed his ass to death. I stung him 3-4 times, and he ain't do nothing but tackle me. That's where, I switched up my MO. You know, I choked his ass out on the ropes a couple times, you know, and he pushed me down. Yeah, I stayed down. Motherfucker, who ain't gonna stay down?
Stop, Twan. Stop.
It's Twan fault. It's all Twan fault.
What you got,
Twan? The one really laughing at you, Pat.
I ain't laughing at Pat. I'm telling Pat.
Pat,
I love what you, Pat. You really, really telling the truth. And you really tell them how serious you take the shit. And that's the part that I'm laughing at. The DJs don't understand that.
Man, that's telling y'all, like, I took this fight in 17 days. We was out on
I ain't never tried a box.
And I looked at Brandon, I said, Brandon, I'm about to take this fight. He looked at me and said,
No, don't do it.
I need my baby.
I asked you on air, was you ready?
Brandon, I said, Brandon, I'm taking it. He said,
I asked you on FPAC, you told me, you said, Twan, I work out every day. I got this. That's exactly what you told me, so I left it alone.
And Twan, I won't bullshit myself no more when I'm going up under that gunfight.
All right, well, so February.
You got to be prepared. February, I'll be prepared.
And is it the same guy? Is it the same guy?
I don't know if it's the same guy. We'll figure that out in the next couple weeks. Okay. But I really want to fight Bobby one more time. Like,
just
for me.
No.
Brandon, it's just like me fighting you. You can't hurt me. You're about just as big as he is.
No, do I think you're going to fight Bobby again?
Man, this boy is crazy. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Y'all out of control, bro.
We love you. Pat, please do not keep the radio on. Just give me an hour of freedom. Like, I just want to talk open on tonight.
You want to talk about this the whole show, Brandon?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Pat, don't turn on the radio.
Hey,
I know you.
February, I'm be back. I'm be back.
All right, bro. We love you, bro.
Do you think Bobby will fight you for a third time or no?
probably ain't getting no payday unless he fight me. I'm the biggest
Let him know. Tell him you the cash cow.
Yeah. Y'all seen the crowd. Y'all see the pay-per-view. That's why they keep calling me, and I'm going to answer the bell, though. I was ready the first time. This time, I dropped the fucking ball. I will admit that. I ain't going to have him again.
Now, that's big, though, man, for you to admit that, though, Pax. Man, you got my respect again. You took a fight on 17 days. I know I probably wouldn't take a fight on 17 days.
I'm out on tour with these dickheads.
That's what I'm saying. To take a fight on 17 days is...
Because Brandon getting on my nerves 90% of the time. Shady can't show up on time. So I got to take that crowd.
Airing out all the family business, huh?
Yeah, I
got to
do everything.
Love you, man. Love you, bro.
Take a fight.
Appreciate you calling in, Pax.
Brandon, you ain't even take. Boy, we got some shit, boy. We gonna be my
farm. You'll get me, Pac. I ain't gonna lie. You'll get me, but I don't know about Bobby.
Hey, look, I'm putting that test in there. Bobby has in trouble next time. We gonna see if we gonna do that next time.
Okay. Appreciate you calling in, Pac, man. We love you, bro. Man. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my squad, Brandon Marshall and Antoine Walker. And B Marsh, you a fool, bro.
Bro, can we talk about it? Like, come on.
We got to get into the show eventually, bro.
Bro, this is the show.
Let me B, one, that phone call you made to him is wrong.
Dead wrong. Why would you say that for that man was about to fight?
And then I ain't going to lie. I was a little nervous about his fight. When I saw you guys in Atlanta, Cupid shuffling with the group, y'all had the group workout, all the stuff. I blame you for that, B, because that probably was your marketing scheme. Let's have people come work out with us on some athlete. And I think that Pac probably used it as one of his workouts.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you know, y'all did a group workout. Yeah, in Atlanta. Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
Yeah,
you're
they
right.
did.
After a live show,
it was Brandon's fault.
Right. So Brandon, you was a part of some of this shit. Like you said, you had him running around doing a lot of things that threw him off. When a man should have went 17 hard, strong days.
No. First off, 17 hard days. We're already losing. You shouldn't take a fight, in my mind, 17
camp
days
Camp is a month
out.
And a half.
That's not enough time. Yeah. You need at least 6 weeks for a camp, right?
Camp month and a half.
And then maybe go to like 4 weeks or whatever because it's three 1-minute rounds. But thing is this, man, is like I call him before the fight and I said, bro, be smart, you know, work your craft. Tap into the sweet science.
Right.
That's what I said to him. I ain't come with no weak energy. It was boom. It was real quick. Now, Pac, man, he went in there, man, and he just wasn't prepared. He wasn't prepared, and he said it.
Yeah, that's tough, man. Really interesting to see if he actually gets another fight with Bobby, man. But we have a really good show today. Let's go ahead and get into it. The Cowboys survive against the Texans. Yes, you heard that correctly. The Cowboys survived against the Texans on a late 98-yard touchdown drive to win the game. We'll talk about that. Can Brock Purdy help lead the 49ers team to the Super Bowl after beating the GOAT Tom Brady in the Bucs Sunday? We'll get into that as well. And we'll preview the Monday night football game between the Patriots and the Cardinals and give you our picks for that game. But first, yes, I've been waiting to have this conversation with Brandon Marshall. My guy, Jay Herbo, Justin Herbert, threw for 367 yards and a touchdown and a 23-17 win over the Dolphins. Now, if you look at this Chargers team, right, on defense, so many injuries. They dealt with so many injuries literally on their whole team, but more specifically defense before this game, right? Bryce Callahan, their slot corner wasn't there. Derwin James, some might say the best safety in the league, didn't play for them. Joey Bosa was out. And this defense really stepped up, right? Now, Chargers with this win, after beating the Dolphins 23-17, moved into seventh place in the playoff race and then the final place into the AFC playoffs. This is their head coach, Brandon Staley, talking about how his defense stepped up with so many injuries.
We just answered all the challenges in the game that we had to face. You know, obviously they're having a tremendous year offensively. They got a lot of weapons. We're down on, you know, a ton of guys, but I think that the way our guys competed out there, you saw the competitiveness within our program and guys trying to prove themselves and showcase themselves to the league and then also showcase our defense to the league.
Now, again, Justin Herbert had a hell of a game. He completed a career high 39 passes on 51 attempts. and it's his 21st 300-yard passing game. This is Justin Herbert giving some love to the defense after the game.
You know, I thought the defense did an incredible job battling, and, you know, despite being down a couple guys, those guys stepped up big time, and, you know, we never had any doubt about those guys going in there and stepping up, and, you know, Josh, Mike, Keenan, Gerald, Dre, those guys just keep making plays on the outside, so to have an offensive line like we do and to be able to block it up, protect it, you know, I thought it was good to see from all phases of our football team today.
Now, I love that from Justin Herbert, right? Because his offensive line didn't play particularly well. It was his athletic ability, mobility in the pocket that allowed him to make some of those passes down the field, because a lot of the time his offensive line was getting beat. Let's not get it twisted, right? A lot of injuries up front. Trey Pipkins, their right tackle, missed another game. Corey Linsley finally came back at the center position, but the left tackle also is out in a Rashawn Slater, who, you know, got hurt early this year and is on IR. So he doesn't have some of his best players up front online. And he's been under duress these last couple of weeks, but he did a really good job being able to buy time. B. Marsh, let me ask you this question, right? As a player, right, we could say we don't listen to the news clippings and the media and everything, but we know that's a lie, right? Do you think there was some added motivation for Herbert in this game? Because, again, we always know that him and Tua will be connected for life because of what happened in their 2020 draft class, right? And then people potentially saying that Tua was better than him this year. Do you think as a player that motivated him to go out there and have a career night?
He doesn't take me as that guy. You know, we took I Am Athlete on the go in camp, and we hit 12, 13 teams.
Correct.
And I think we started it in Cali with the Chargers. And yep. Talking to the team there, coaches, executives, players, they were like, this guy just doesn't care for anything outside of just throwing the ball. So he doesn't take me as that guy that, you know, had that put up on his bulletin board. So I just think he just went out there and did what he's been trying to do all year. And that leads me to this second point, Twan. Did you hear dudes sneak in there that, oh, you know, some people are saying that Tua was the better quarterback all year?
Some people were.
He was, bro. Don't do that. He beat the man that night. One big game.
And what do you look like and the
Tua,
game before?
And Tua has been on a MVP type run. Let's call a spade a spade.
That conversation is dead now.
It might be dead, but don't crown Herbert the guy over Tua off of one game. Don't do that.
No, you're smarter right. than that. I'm crowning it off of what he's done the last 3 years.
You just won a sports Emmy, bro.
I did.
Don't do it.
But y'all got to start. You got to start being honest, though. Seriously, Justin Hague got his weapons back. I mean, when you get your weapons back, I mean, you're going to play better. I mean, I think we get away from that and saying, you know, every week, it's one thing I've learned as far as, especially working on this show and being around you guys, is injuries are so important in the NFL. But yeah. One thing about when these good quarterbacks are whole and they got their weapons, it's tough to beat them. The better team usually wins. And that's what you saw today. He had Mike Williams. He was able to dink and dump him. For 12 receptions, obviously, him and Keenan got some stuff going. But we haven't seen this team whole.
Yeah.
This dude is the real deal from last year. So I just think that's what people ain't talking about. They're trying to make it against him versus Tula. It ain't him versus Tula. He got healthy.
But,
you know, obviously, the Chargers defense was not healthy, and they did a great job on that explosive offense. But the Chargers offense was healthy, and we saw them at their best last night.
Yeah, listen, valid points there, Twan, especially the one as far as – them finally playing together. I don't know if they played more than four quarters this year together.
Before last night, they've only played 46 snaps together.
Unbelievable.
Him and Mike, yeah. Mike Williams
like,
and Keenan
it's
Allen.
Like, it's like the first year in Brooklyn with James Harden, and Kyrie and Katie. Like all that. And they played eight games together that year. But listen, man, Twan, when we have these conversations, I just hate how fickle the media is. You know, obviously we are now members of the media, but for dudes to take the crown off of Tua's head after 14 weeks and give it back to Herbert, that's a problem, bro. You sound just like everybody else that's out there in the media.
No, I don't. I sound like a guy that watches film, but let me get this correct. You actually crowned Tua? You had crowned him?
Well, what I'm saying is this year, if you had to pick – a quarterback.
So for eight games, you had crowned him for the eight games he played.
Out of them two, if you're saying their draft class, who was the better quarterback this year? It's been Tua, 100%. I'm not talking about
this. This is why I love these conversations. We probably don't have as much time as I really want to really get into this with you. Mm-hmm. But you were on this show a while ago when the Miami Dolphins had ran off five in a row. And you remember what I asked you to do for me, Brandon?
What did you say?
I asked you, I said, Brandon, look up the number ranked the defenses are that Tua's playing. Mm-hmm. You remember where they ranked that?
Mm, they were bottom half.
So what happened when he played San Francisco?
Okay.
What happens when you take the RPO game away from him and you put hands on Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle at the line of scrimmage?
Mm-hmm.
What happened last night? That's the result you get, right? And again, I'm so ecstatic for Tua because he was in a dark place, right? He even came out and admitted and asked himself, am I even a good quarterback, right? But for you guys to say that he was better than Justin Herbert this year when Herbert, like you just said, had 46 snaps of his two top targets out. And again, you know what he did last night, Brandon Marshall?
What'd he do?
He became the all-time leader in passing yards for a quarterback in his first three seasons. And that's without having Mike White and Keenan Allen all this year.
Mm-hmm.
He was already the guy that had thrown the most yards in the first 2 years of his career. With four games left, B-Marsh, four games. He still got four games. He's already number one in his first 3 years in passing yards. He passed Andrew Luck for the most passing yards in his first 3 years at the quarterback position without having his top two weapons. Let's talk about that other quarterback, right? Because the Dolphins offense struggled, right? Tua completed 20% of his passes in the first half, Brandon.
Okay.
20%. I don't think I've ever seen that in the game. He finished only completing 35% of his passes for the game. Now, again, I talked about it, right? Chargers defense, shout out to Ronaldo Hill, the defensive corner, and also Brandon Staley. Great game plan. You know what it actually reminded me of, B-Marsh? It reminded me of the game plan that Todd Bowles implored against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, right? We're going to get hands on guys, right? We're going to play some man coverage. And when we do, we can't give up the explosive play. Now, they did give up one, but for the most part, Mike Davis, Asante Samuel Jr., those dudes played out of their mind last night. And the linebackers, they just weren't letting Jaylen Waddle run scot-free. They weren't letting Tyreek Hill run scot-free. They were getting hands on him, and that throws off the RPO game when you can do that, right? Honestly, kind of blame Mike McDaniel because going into this game, the Chargers are one of the worst run defenses in football, right? They gave up 150 rush yards per game, and they just refused to run the football. So talking about Tua's, you know, game and him struggling, he spoke last night, talked about how he was disappointed in the team's play.
It was very disappointing for us to go out there as an offense and kind of show what we showed. That's not to our standard. That's not how we play football here, and that was very disappointing.
Yeah, and before we get to break, because we got to get to break, B.
Do you think I was gathering my information, but go ahead.
I know you do. If it's really juicy, we can come back to it after the break. But do you think the Dolphins are in trouble? Because, you know, this week they're on a short week. They have the Bills coming up.
The Dolphins are in trouble, but it's not because of Tua, okay? So, dudes, you're a defensive lineman. What's the most important thing and most important part of the game? Protect your number one asset, which is your quarterback. So let's go back to the 49ers game, all right? How many times was dudes literally camping out at his feet? And how many times was he sacked?
That's what the 49ers defense does.
Okay, so is it Tua? Now, there was some missed opportunities, but is it Tua? Or is it the offensive line and that offensive line coach? Were they ready? Were they prepared?
You don't blame them for the best defense in football, playing like the best defense in football?
Don't say Tua is not a good quarterback. You said Tua. I'm talking about that
Miami
Dolphins.
First of all,
I never said
he wasn't a good quarterback. Well, I said he struggled because – I said he was playing well because he's playing against lesser defenses. When he's played better defenses, he struggled, and that's a fact. That's not a lie.
My biggest point is you're talking about Tua struggling.
Yeah, I'm talking about
him. The offense struggled, which is a totally different conversation, dudes. If he had time – right? If his pocket was clean, then we can talk about that. The dude was under the stress all game.
You talking about versus the Chargers or the 49ers?
I started with the 49ers.
Oh, okay. I was like, because he wasn't really under that much duress last night.
He only
didn't throw the ball well.
Eh.
Yeah.
Eh. debatable.
But so this is my thing, Brandon. I know we got to get to break because we ran long because of the Pac-Man thing in the beginning. But to me, the biggest concern for me with Tua, it's not even the physical. Mm-hmm. It's the mental. It's the mental part. And I say that because we talked about this earlier, right, Brandon? This was a guy that before this season wondered if he was good at football anymore, right? And again, kudos to him for being that vulnerable and being that real. But you worry now because he had so much success. He didn't lose any games this year when he actually started and finished games. Now that they've lost two in a row, and you kind of see it, saw it last night, Brandon, you talked about it, right? When there's a little pressure, he starts getting jumpy in the pocket. And that's what concerns you, the mental aspect of it, right? You said the offense didn't show up. Well, Tyreek Hill was out there on one ankle and he showed up, right? Explosive touchdown run and catch. And then also on a fluke fumble play, he took it for like 60 yards. So there was times that he was open and Tua just missed him. I mean, I think you have to be honest about that, that he was inaccurate. He's been inaccurate the last two games. And I would say more so this last week, he wasn't pressured as much as he was the week before. And when teams are taking the RPO game away, and again, this doesn't absolve Mike McDaniel. He's got a part in this as well, right? They just never adjusted.
That. That's my whole point. Say that.
Oh, I've never shied away from that.
Talk about Tua. Go ahead, Twan.
The Dolphins did what they supposed to did, and they got you guys excited. They beat everybody that's supposed to. They beat everybody they supposed to beat.
Yeah.
They beat the Steelers. They beat the Lions. They beat my Bears. They beat
Those are some bad teams, huh, Antoine?
They beat the Texans. They beat the Cleveland Browns. And then they played a real team.
And what happened, Twan?
They played a real team. They played the San Francisco 49ers and San Fran. They got smacked.
Mm.
And then yesterday they got smacked again.
Mm.
So y'all got to call it how it is. You know, sometimes.
Thank you. So, yo, Brandon trying to act like he want to be all sensitive all of a sudden.
He's worried about Tua's feelings. Listen, it's nothing wrong with what they did. They played what was in front of them. They took care of business the way they're supposed to. It's just unfortunately a lot of you diehard Dolphin fans thought this was the year.
Oh, God, talk bad, Antoine.
Listen.
We got to get the break. We got to get the break, y'all, but we might have to retouch on this subject.
I'm Jake Mintz.
And I'm Jordan Schusterman, and we are the hosts of Baseball Barbacast, a SiriusXM podcast.
Like Edwin Jackson, the ultimate journeyman, we are hitting the road next week, headed to San Diego for baseball's winter meetings. We're going to be bringing you two episodes a day of in-depth and hopefully entertaining baseball talk. We'll be talking to the biggest names to get answers to the biggest questions, like who will sign Aaron Judge? And will Mike Farah notice that we're using his expense account?
Download Baseball Barbacast on the SXM app, available with all of our trials and popular plans, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Duzba, with my guys, Brandon Marshall and Antoine Walker, and Brock Purdy and the 49ers smoked Tom Brady and the Bucks last night, yesterday afternoon, 35-7. Now, Brock Purdy was really efficient the first half in this game. I mean, 14 to 18 for 185 yards with two touchdowns. He had a quarterback rating of 146.5. And the 49ers were up so much, fella, in the first half that he only threw the ball three times in the second half. So he finished the game 16 to 21 for 185 with two touchdowns with a passer rating of 134. And he added a two-yard rushing touchdown. I think that's something that's actually not talked about enough. His mobility in the pocket, I think, is what's going to separate him, because I think he's a little bit more athletic, or a lot more athletic, than Jimmy Garoppolo in the pocket. I mean, one play that really comes to my mind when I was watching that game in the second quarter, right? Teams always say, right, Brandon, blitz a young quarterback, right? Blitz him, because he don't know where it's coming from. He don't know where to go to football, right? But this guy can decipher defenses and knows where to go to football. I mean, perfect example, right? He's playing the Tampa Bay Bucks. We know Todd Bowles likes to blitz. That's what he's going to do. He's going to bring that pressure, and he's going to play man coverage, right? And he's played a little bit more cover too this year, but on this particular play, right, they motion Christian McCaffrey out to the left, right? Empty concept. Brock Purdy sees the blitz. He calls it out, right? And he knew where to go with the football. Now, again, I don't know what Logan Ryan, the safety for the Bucks, was doing. He had Christian McCaffrey in man coverage. I think he was trying to steal one, thinking that Brock Purdy was going to throw the quick hitch route. But he finds Christian McCaffrey down the left sideline, hits him in stride for a touchdown pass in man coverage when the blitz was coming. So it's like this kid, and we talked about it last week, right, Brandon? This kid plays with so much bravado, right? Swag. Like, he's just always into the game, and it seems like nothing rattles him. So, like, Kyle Shanahan talked about Brock Purdy's play after the game.
He's played a lot of football in college, and he just got to play his first NFL game last week, and then he did the same stuff today. I mean, he reacts and runs around and makes some plays, and that's how he was in college, and that's how he's been so far and in the league. And when you do that, it's how many good plays can you make without making the bad ones, and he's done that really well so far.
Now, the 49ers did have a blowout win, bro, right? But they had a scare.
Oh, dudes went out
in the field in the second quarter. Right, Debo Samuel went down on an ugly play. I mean, it looked really ugly. Yeah, I went out.
Yeah, you went out.
So Debo said, okay, Debo Samuel, you know, in the second quarter, it was an ugly play that, you know, it looked like it could have been a severe injury, right? He was kind of bent backwards. His legs were in one place, his body went another way. But, you know, he ended up getting carted off the field that game. And preliminary, you know, tests revealed that maybe he had a high ankle sprain. Well, it looks like the 49ers got some news, and probably it looks like Debo may have dodged a huge bullet, right? Because the ankle that was the focus and head coach, you know, Kyle Shanahan talked about his injury after the game. But it turns out that Samuel did suffer a knee and ankle injury, but the team announced that Samuel is just dealing with the MCL sprain. And I want to just say dealing with an MCL sprain, because that is a major issue. But from how it looked, Brandon and Tuan, it looked ugly, like really ugly, and an ankle sprain. And they actually expect him back before the end of the season. Like preliminary, they thought that maybe he could come right when the playoffs were getting ready to start. But now it looks like he could potentially come back towards the end of the season. So that is a big, you know, that was great news for the San Francisco 49ers, because we know what Debo Samuel means to that offense, right? Yeah. He literally is their energizer bunny. He gets the offense going, and even sometimes the defense, because he plays like a defender, even though he's a wide receiver / running back. Let's talk about this other team, right? The Bucks, right? They have just struggled on offense.
Twan, he don't want us to talk.
Now I'm about to bring y'all in. I just want to set the scene for everybody that maybe didn't watch the game.
Twan, is it me or is this the longest damn intro in the history of Mad Dog Sports?
That's how D work. D work like this, baby. I'm used to it. That's how he work.
So you want me to fall back? Do I need the fall back?
Maybe. I don't know if I should give you the ball back. But just talking about quickly, this Bucs offense has struggled. Mike Evans and Tom Brady continue not to be on the same page. Brady finished 34 of 55 for 253 with one touchdown and two interception. Here's Tom Brady talking about the game on Let's Go on Mad Dog Sports Radio from earlier tonight, putting the loss on him and what the mindset of the team is.
I was responsible for two of the turnovers that were terrible throws. I missed Mike open in the end zone for a touchdown, missed Scotty down the field. So, you know, just look at myself and realize I got to do a lot better than that in order to win. There's an intense level of urgency that everyone's got to feel. And you got four games left in the season and everything's ahead of us. So, I mean, no, we're below 500. That feels horrible. The way that we've lost, that feels terrible. And then, you know, you say, okay, well, it's a new week.
B. Marsh, let me ask you this question, Brandon Marshall. Can Brock Purdy, I know we're big fans of him, but do you think he can literally help lead this team to a run to the Super Bowl in the playoffs?
Absolutely. Last week, you know, had opportunity to speak on this, and, you know, what I mentioned was the 49ers went into this season with four quarterbacks on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jimmy G was going to get traded. Trey Lance was going to take over, and they kept Sudfield on the roster, gave him a guaranteed contract, only a year, $2 million, because he was going to be the backup. Purdy showed so well and did so good in camp that they let go of Sudfield and kept him.
Yep.
What we're looking at is the next starting quarterback of the 49ers.
Ooh.
He is Kirk Cousins. That's who he is, right? Ooh. And if you can recall who went and drafted Kirk Cousins, who made the decision to go with Kirk Cousins over RG3, it was the Shanahans.
Yeah.
Right? So, dudes, to me, he won't only lead you into the playoffs, but he'll probably be the starting quarterback of the 49ers for the future.
Wow, even with everything they traded up to get Trey Lance?
Bro, didn't they do that? What did they get? Didn't they trade up to get RG3, or didn't they do something wild for RG3 in D.C.?
They did. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
what you think about that,
and then Twan? Also, Twan, One last thing, Twan. 2006, drafted myself, Jay Cutler, Tony Scheffler, Evans, Dumerville, et cetera, et cetera. Big Shanahan. Jake Plummer the year before took his team to the AFC Championship. They were a play away from going to the Super Bowl. Steelers beat them, right? Jay Cutler is drafted the next year. We're sitting at like 7-3 or something crazy.
Yeah, and they benched.
And they benched
Jake
him
the Snake. Yeah.
For Jay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I would say this, though. I do agree with Brandon's comments. I don't think it's going to be as easy as Brandon is saying it. I think he still has to play well and, you know, to play this whole thing out. I think Jimmy G's gone. I think they're going to move on from that. I think this becomes a Trey Lance and Brock conversation moving forward next year. Mm. I do believe that. But it goes back to what I said in the first segment in the beginning, and this is the thing that's so frustrating when I see certain teams and I see like San Francisco. San Francisco's all in to win a Super Bowl. We all agree on that.
Correct.
He got weapons. You can play a guy like that when you got weapons. These, you know, you playing with first tier, all NFL players. You got your crew. Now, this next few games without Debo are going to be tough. Obviously, they need Debo. But he's got weapons. With that defense.
I see where this is going.
Yeah, with
that
defense.
I see where this is coming from.
Where is it coming from?
With those weapons and with that defense. Listen, with those weapons and with that defense, they're going to be hard to beat. They're going to win this division. They'll lock the division up this weekend or this week when they beat Seattle. It'll take 11 games to win that division. And Debo don't need to play no more. Debo first game should be playoff game. And they'll be fine. But, yes, it's a two-quarterback team with them. And if he can continue on, I'm not ready to give him the job yet. It's only two games. You're going to get a good sample size of him before I just turn it over to him. But he's in my conversation. He's competing for my first and second job easily.
Mm. Okay, B, what did you mean about Twan? I know where this is going. Quickly, because we got to get the break.
Think about it. He keeps saying it. Where does he live? Where is he from? He's from Chicago.
Chicago.
He's like complaining because he don't got weapons. Yeah. It's Chicago.
They ain't got no weapons.
Like, he keep whining. No weapons. No weapons.
But come, you know on, what I'm saying? You get some weapons. All type of things start to happen.
Right.
Well, y'all traded for Chase Claypool, man.
Man, all that Chase ain't shit.
We gotta get
himself together right now.
We're definitely gonna go to break on that one.
We got $100 million. We got some draft picks. Man, we got to get this guy. We got to get some playmakers. But I ain't really here for talk about the Bears. We got an off week. You know what I'm saying? We're going to take care of the Jets this week. We got the Jets.
That's what y'all going to do.
Y'all don't got this. We got the Lions.
No, we got somebody that we can mess up their playoff situation.
Which y'all probably not going to do.
The Eagles.
Eagles, yeah, know. Good luck. No. Good luck with that, Twan.
That might take us life.
Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.